Well, good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. You may open your Bibles to Psalm 92 for an opening text. Those of you local ones, I know that we're planning to look at a message on the older. I wasn't sure what name to use. Didn't want to cause offense to anyone, but let's read a few verses here, and then we'll get into more of the introduction. Psalm 92, I'd like to read verses 12 through 15. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. The title of the message is Flourishing as We Grow Older. That's the official title. If you want a little more memorable title, you could take the title from the end, the last part of verse 14, Old, Fat, and Flourishing, but I didn't know how that would fit. So we'll stick with flourishing as we grow older. So who are those in the old age category? Who am I talking to this morning? Well, one of the reasons I went here this morning is that, or went to this subject, is because last week at Revivals, we had Brother Gerald had a sermon for the youth, and he had a sermon on for the middle age as well, which I've very much connected with. But not everyone fits in that category. There's some that are above that category, and you have to decide if you are above that category or not. But I decided now's a good time to bring a message. You may not face some of the things that we're talking about, but probably at some point, maybe soon, you will face some of the things that we're going to talk about this morning. I also thought about, as far as a proper term, I wasn't sure if seasoned adults or legacy adults or prime timers or golden years group or what to call this people that we're talking about. So why have a sermon on the elderly? Well, I already said that we had our congregation, we had a message on the youth and the middle age. And I had been thinking for some time, it's been in the back of my mind, that it seems like we maybe neglect our grandpas and don't speak directly to them. It's not uncommon to have a message on the youth and so forth and focus on them. But I would say in the past, we had a fairly young congregation, but our congregation, the average age of our congregation, I shouldn't say average. I don't know. We have a lot of young children coming on too, so maybe that keeps the average down. But the top end keeps getting higher, I'll put it that way. And so, and I'm pretty sure it's a fact that they make grandpas younger than what they used to. At least it seems that way to me. But this sermon isn't exclusively for the grandparents or for those above middle age. Us younger ones have a responsibility towards the older ones, and we're going to, you'll hear that throughout the message as well. And I think it's good for us younger ones to think about what kind of older person you're shaping up to be. There are two kinds of elderly. Those who pour encouragement and life into family and congregations, and those who tend to zap life out of family and congregations. And I remember years ago, I think it was you, Dwayne, that talked about the two types of old people. When you go to an old people's home, the two types of old people that you see, there's the grumpy ones and there's the happy ones. And if you want to be the happy one, then we need to start when we're younger. So I think it's three points that I want to look at from these verses that we just read. And then after that, I'm going to pause And as I shared on the with the congregation last night in the congregational chat, I'm going to give the grandpas an opportunity. I didn't say you have to, but I'm hoping to hear from most of you. And if the grandmas want to share as well, I'm going to give you opportunity at that point. And then if we have time after that, I have a few practical pointers to wrap up with. So the first thing that I saw in these verses is that older people tend to have strong roots. Maybe it's not specifically listed here, but I believe it's inferred here that a tree that flourishes through every season is going to have deep roots. We have seen that. You've seen a tree that didn't have deep roots, that a storm comes along and they fall over. They topple over. Windstorm comes along. But I've observed watching these big trees that are real tall, and the wind comes and it seems like they just bow in the wind, but there they stand and they're strong. What makes the difference? It's the root system. Roots of trees serve to anchor the massive structure above the ground, and they also serve to absorb water and nutrients from the soil to help maintain a healthy tree. I found it interesting. I did a little research. The deepest documented tree root belongs to a wild fig tree in South Africa, and it was measured to have reached a depth of approximately 393 feet. I cannot fathom that. The oak, the hickory, and the walnut trees are also known to have deep roots, and probably Pastor Linden could expound on this more. I also found it interesting, palm trees do not have the deepest root system, but they are known for their ability to thrive in harsh environments. Now, how does that work? Well, they have this root ball that only tends to go usually not much more than 3 foot deep. But out of that root ball, they have a very dense fiber-like root system that goes out. Very, very dense. And it forms a wide interlocking mat that secures a large mass of earth. And so while it doesn't go very deep, it's very, at least what I picture, is very small but yet compact root system that just clings to the dirt all around it and therefore makes it very strong. And this creates a wide, stable base for the palm tree to help withstand storms. And so as I thought about that, this tree that has weathered the storms of life, the thunderstorms that come through and the windstorms that come through, and it's still standing. When I stand in our backyard, I look back into the woods, there's this giant pine tree, or maybe a spruce or whatever it is. It's a giant tree that stands well above all the other trees. And that's been standing there for years. I don't know how old that tree is, but it's just there it stands, and it has weathered the storms of life. I think it's a beautiful picture of the older generation. The older you get, the deeper and the broader your root system tends to get. Older people tend to have a mature, enduring spiritual foundation that has been developed through decades of walking with God. And that is a good thing. Older people can and should be an anchor in congregational life. And that is why it is good to have inter-congregational broad range of in congregational life, the grandpas and the young ones. And I'm glad for what we have here, from the young, the many children, to the grandpas that we have. Old people without the younger one is not good, or vice versa. And you can probably go to some churches in town where it would be a handful of old people sitting in the benches, and there's no youth, no children. I'm glad we don't have that, but I also am glad that we don't have just a congregation of young people and without the stability of the old people. Older people often speak of dangers, the dangers of change, especially of rapid change, and they see the young ones that are energetic and want to make changes and make things happen. They say, no, wait a minute. If you change too fast, it unsettles people. And if you do this, did you ever think about that? And And that's a good thing. They bring stability in congregational life. Older people have wisdom and resilience. They often prioritize a time of intimacy with God. They have learned the meaningful, sweet fellowship with God and what that does for them. And they have weathered many storms in life and are still standing strong in spite of it. The second thing that I see is in verse 14, they shall still bring forth fruit in an old age. Older people should be fruitful. Fruit is something that is beneficial. Two, it gives to others. It gives strength to others. It is a positive thing for those who partake of the fruit. Last night, I enjoyed an orange that was sweet and juicy and delicious, and apples is a staple in our household, always having apples on hand. It's a healthy snack around our house. And when you take all these different fruits and you mix them together and make a fruit salad, at least I enjoy a fruit salad and the blend that has. And I thought about that in the, you know, maybe older people, you have your different strengths and you bring those strengths together in a congregation and it makes a beautiful fruit salad. Maybe you could look at it that way. But older people, you have the option to either remain fruitful or become stagnant and dormant. And I have observed that some older people have a tendency to become critical and to become negative about life. This is probably true, especially towards youth and young people, as I observed. Older people can become very critical of the young people and what they're doing. And it's not wrong to have concerns, but it seems like some people, older people that you talk to, only like to complain about things in life. Positive influence from older people can be a healthy benefit to any congregation. There is that stability that I talked about. But when you take these different fruits from these old people, that is a positive thing. And rather than complaining and being critical, be a positive influence, and that fruit can come out. And so don't become negative, don't become critical. Rather, let your strong, mature roots produce fruits that is a positive thing to the rest of us. Let the fruit of the Spirit pour out of your life more and more as you grow older and as you think about the fruits of the Spirit. Instead of selfishness and indifference, have love towards those of us that are younger. Instead of misery and bitterness and pessimism, have joy. Instead of anxiety and conflict, have peace. Instead of impatience and irritability, have patience. Instead of cruelty and harshness and apathy, have kindness, and the list could go on. You see what the fruit that can come out, the difference between an older person that can have fruit and how that affects a congregation rather than a critical spirit and the effects that that has. I believe that negativity and being critical will only distance older ones from the younger ones. So let your influence be known through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life. And to us younger ones, are we listening to and are we giving opportunity for older ones to speak into our lives and to ask them their opinion? Are we giving them that opportunity? How often do we sit at the feet of grandpas, the older generation, ask them advice and listen to what they have to say? And this is, as I was studying for this and I thought about it, that's one of the reasons that I wanted to give them opportunity to talk this morning. The third point that I see here is in verse 15, that older people should declare the strength of God to the next generation. We said that older people have weathered many storms. The older you get, the more you have seen, the more difficulties you have faced. They have been tested. They have seen God at work in their lifetime. You know, some of us younger ones tend to be weak in our faith at times. We know, we believe the Bible is true, but sometimes when it comes to how that applies to our lives, it's difficult to to actually apply it to our lives and to believe it. We want to believe it, but when we actually apply it, it can be difficult. Older ones have experienced these things. Part of bearing fruit, as we talked about in the last point, in the older generation, is to speak up and share in testimony of what God has done for you and of God's strength. Maybe you're afraid that you have dementia and are afraid of telling some stories over and over again. Well, that's okay. We need to hear the stories over and over again. The middle-aged need to hear them. And there's constantly young children that are growing up that need to continue to hear the stories. So keep declaring the strength of God to the next generations. How did God answer prayers for you in your lifetime? How did God give you strength in times of hardship, whether it was physical difficulties or something spiritual that you went through, or financial difficulty, or whatever it was? Talk about those things and how God helped you through those things. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. In verses 2 through 5, it says, "That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." We'll stop reading there. My encouragement here is that rather than being critical of the younger, like we talked about, here Paul is saying, mentor them, teach them. But that needs to go both ways, and this is where us younger ones need to be open. Are we open if a grandma or a grandpa comes to us and starts talking about how we're loving our husbands, how we're relating to our husband, maybe a concern that they see, or the way we're doing something? Are we open to that, or do we shut that off in our congregation or in our lives? We need to be open to that and allow them to share from their experiences and their testimony to the next generation. I'd like to take some time now, and I'm just going to come down. I'm going to get the mic so everyone can hear, the handheld mic. And I'll give opportunity for the grandpas to share something. And if it takes the rest of the time, that's okay. I'm sure that'll be worthwhile. But if not, we'll have a few more things to say. And then when they're done, I'll open up if there's any grandmas that would like to share as well. All right, who wants to be first? We'll start with the oldest, or Roy wants to go?
I want to be first, but I guess everybody's looking to me. I was reminded yesterday, Brother Jason spoke about flourishing. And yesterday I had an opportunity to have two of my grandsons work with me in the yard, cleaning it up, and I was so thankful because I've seen how my age, my strength is not flourished, but it's going the other way, and how the strength of youth, and it came to my mind, that saying, if I can think of it, is it, only one life will soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. And my encouragement is to, my desire is to be an example to the younger generation. As you get older, you become more God conscious. That's what we need to be, more God conscious. And time is running out, and we need to, it's very important that we stand on truth, and we're an example to the younger.
All right, thank you, Roy. Who wants to be next?
We have a few more grandpas here.
I'm a little bit nervous. Whenever Jason sent that text to me, right away something came to my mind that goes back a long time ago that helped me in my journey in life. That was influence. And I remember this. I generally don't tell people my age, but I'm 68 next month, 2.5 weeks. But my mind goes way back when I was a boy at home. And I'm pretty slow saying this because I don't want to. My parents, they love me. There's nine of us. But you know what? I wish I could remember that my father took time and read his Bible to his children. I can't remember that. And that influenced me in my lifetime. And don't go and ask Angela about me as a father. I hope I did better than that. But influence has a lot to do with us as we're growing up through life. And it has a way to form a former person's life, who he's with. Now, I'll just show you, before I go any further, I want to say this, so you don't think I'm a perfect individual. When I moved from Chambersburg to Tyrone, first thing I thought about, there's no Mennonites up here to influence my life. And I remember my wife and I, at the last minute, late at night, we had to go to town for something, and she said, do I really need to do this and that? I said, nah, you're not going to see no Mennonites. So we go to town. If we were seeing somebody, I know my wife would probably turn collars because, you know, there wasn't no Mennonites around. But influence. So we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But I will say this much, that if you're struggling with church standards, one day you'll learn to grow up and appreciate church standards. They have a way to, as you grow older, it has a way of setting things straight in your life. Bad influence has a way of tearing down, affecting passing one to faith. I struggled if I should say this or not, but the way I look at passing on the faith is there are things that we practice that has a way of keeping our families together. Brother Stephen called me up back a couple of weeks ago, and he said, you want to hear from an old man like me? What's my view of passing on the faith? Passing on the faith is things that we practice that the Bible does not speak on, but has a way of keeping our families together. Then I asked Stephen this question. If your dad would not have kept what he has today, would he have his family? And Stephen said no.
Thank you, Junior. You ready to go, Dwayne?
When I got Jason's message, I think the first thought that went through my mind is, this is the first time somebody's looking at me and saying, you're an old man. I've been feeling it for the last number of years, but it's the first public time that it's getting acknowledged that he's over the hill. All you need to do is have grandchildren, and then you're old. When I thought some more about his request, I wasn't sure what to say. There was nothing that really came to mind right off the bat. I think some of that is because I have opportunities to talk out loud about what's going on inside many times a year in front of the church. because that's kind of where we get our inspiration for preaching. But I did. There was a thought that this morning, as I was thinking again about it, that came to mind. What is some wisdom that can be given to the generations? What do I wish I would have known? I'm not even sure when I knew this or when I became aware of it. I think it was when I first was ordained deacon. But there's a passage in 1 Corinthians 3 where Paul is talking about building the church, and he starts talking about how to use Jesus Christ as the master builder of the church. And then he starts down a very unique discussion point that I don't know you can find anywhere else in the Bible. But he says that leaders may as well face a reality, and that is their leadership is going to get tested by fire. And he takes it so far as to say that every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. I've come to understand that that truth of fire testing the man's work is actually true of every adult man. And I'm old enough now to listen to peers that went places with their lives that I only dreamed of going. They had nice businesses, and they've stacked up the cash and put it in piles in the banks or reinvested it in really good reinvestments. But when it gets quiet, they will talk about how that wasn't quite what they thought it was going to be when they were going for it. And they're sorry that they did, because in the going for it, they had to trade off something else that they wish they had. And so I know that those men are getting tried by fire just like I am getting tried by fire. And one of the most serious aspects of being tried by fire is the anger that comes when you suddenly discover that what you were building was a whole lot more stubble than it was gold. Gerald talked about this a little bit in his message last week, and I don't even know if he tried it, but he was talking about raising children, and he said something to this effect, that when our children tend not to pick up after us, don't you dare get angry at God. Now, that seems illogical. Why wouldn't you get angry at the child? Well, it's because while we were doing it, we believed that God was going to, in his providence, take us better places than that. But every man's fire work shall be tried by fire, and the day shall reveal it. And I think that in my lifetime, I will have to come to peace with that, and so will every other man, if he's going to be able to be an old man and still smile in the old people's home.
Thank you. Adrian, are you ready?
Yeah, well, I don't know if anybody's ever ready to be a grandparent. I think I'm the youngest one here, so take it with a grain of salt. I have good memories of my grandparents, and so I try to think back and come up with a really good one story that would drive the point home. But your mind goes back over life, and you remember things and experiences with them that were positive. And I don't know if you can put a price on what that influence does in your life, because it's just little things that come to mind as you go through life that come from your grandparents. But I do remember this, and that is, I was the oldest grandson of my, well, for Uncle Junior's dad. So I think what he talks about and what I talk about is what often happens in generations, and that is, as a little boy, my grandpap could do no wrong. You know, I was his oldest grandson. I was his little gem, and I have good memories of him. As you get older, you can look back, and you can see things that maybe could have been different. And God be the judge and all that, but I do think that it's important to take the good from our grandparents' lives or anybody's life and apply it. We're responsible for that. Their influence. On my other side, there was some, there with my dad's side, there was not always such good memories for the children sometimes, but as a grandchild, I didn't see that. And as I got older, well, I did see it some, I guess, but I didn't experience it, let's put it that way. I have good memories from both my grandparents and their influence, and God be the judge on the sum and total of their life. I would say this for myself, and I also remember both of my great-grandparents, most of them. And, you know, there's another interesting thing that happens. I look at them as being faithful and dying in the faith, and I don't even know them, you know, that as far as what they did and said in life. I don't know if my wife's going to talk here, but I will maybe steal one in case she forgets it. But on her side, her grandfather used to say this, as far as a quote. So somebody would be sitting around chewing the fat on a Sunday afternoon, and they would be talking about somebody else, and he would sit there in his own quiet way and let them discuss it, and then he would say, well, just so it's not us. And her and I use that quite a bit when we're discussing things. Well, just so it's not us. In other words, we're responsible if you can see it in somebody else's life to make sure it don't happen in your life. When you're young, grandparents seem old, and when you get a little bit older, grandparents seem not so old. it's just the way life is. I would want to say this for myself, because I sometimes wish that old people did this more. Did you ever go to someone's funeral, and maybe an older person you didn't know so much, and you kind of wonder what their expectation was at end of life? In other words, not taken away from the fact that they were church members, they lived their life in faith and all that, but they didn't speak of it. You know, so if you and I were setting out next week on a trip to Jamaica, I'm sure we'd probably speak of it. You know, we're going places, and you know how that is in life. Why is it that there seems to be such a reluctance, or maybe not as much a verbalization of what my goal in life is? So I want to be a grandparent that my children, my parents can remember and know that even though I'm not perfect and even though I face struggles and you see them, that I do have an intent, and that you know, that you believe in Jesus, you have a solid faith, and that there is a goal here at the end that you will not give up, and that as I get closer to it, I want to be the kind of a grandparent and an old person that can verbalize it, that, you know, I'm going home, I've got a goal, and that's what I'm working toward. So if the folks that are older than me want some encouragement, I would say don't be afraid to speak of it, because you can try to teach your children, you can try to say things, and it's all taken in the context of whatever struggle you're in at that point, it seems like. That's the context it's taken in. But I wish sometimes that we could just see the bigger picture a little bit clearer. And anyway, I'm going to be able to influence that if I speak up myself.
All right, thank you. Wayne shared with me that he doesn't have, before the service, that he don't have anything unless you change your mind, unless something came to you. Any of the grandmas have anything they want to share? Yes.
I just want to say that the Lord has been very faithful to me and everything. As far as I've been in my life, I still feel like I'm a somewhat of a young person, but and each victory that you win helps you to win another. And I just want to leave with us the encouragement of 1 Timothy 6:11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, which is the love of money. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. And that is a fight. That is a real fight. And it's not easy. And if any of us make it home, it's going to be because we put forth an effort by the blood of Jesus Christ to make it there.
Thank you. Any other grandmas?
This is a tribute to another grandma in my life, Christine Sensnick's grandmother, Bertha High. When Duane was ordained deacon She was the minister's wife in her late 60s, and I was 25. And I went through a season of ill health. And I had two toddlers with me up there on that front bench that were not in control at all during church. And she had raised a family of eight children, or nine. And I don't know what she must have thought. She never told me. But when, by the grace of God, things were better, and finally I felt like I was in control of my children again, she came one Sunday morning after church, and she said, "Oh, your children sat so nicely this morning. I just was praying about that, and I'm just so thankful for that." I've never forgotten that. She could have given me a lot of hard-edged advice, and she didn't. She didn't criticize me. She prayed, and I'm sure that that made a huge difference.
Anyone else?
All right. Thank you for that. I hope if you were taking notes on the, if you can call this a sermon, that you caught those last 6 points or whatever it was. I think there's some very good advice. Thank you for sharing. Spend a few minutes here looking at a few practical points. For those of us younger ones, the younger should be faithful to encourage and reverence the older ones. It is true that older people face discouragements, they face challenges, they face unique temptations, and we younger ones should do things to encourage them. Families, let's go visit them. Youth, go sing for the older ones. Evenings can get long and lonely for the older generation. We're commanded to encourage and respect the older generation. Leviticus 19:32, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man." Proverbs 23:22, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." 1 Timothy 5:1, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father." And we see just an example in Job. Elihu, the son, answered and said, "I am young, and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid, and durst not show you mine opinion." And so, just touching into that story there of Job, a young man, he respected the elders and left them to speak. I think that's important for us to do that. As I thought about some areas of challenge and concerns that older people might have, I just listed a few here. We're not going to spend a lot of time on any of these. But some of the challenges, some of the fears that older people can face might be financial fears. Is there enough income for when you can't work like you used to and take care of your wife and whatever? Is it going to hold out? Sometimes us younger ones, we just assume that the old people are fat and flourishing when it comes financially. But that's not always true. Savings can quickly be depleted when income gets down and medical expenses are on the rise. So for the older generation, do what you can and trust God for the rest. Jesus said that we are of more value to him than the sparrow. In Matthew chapter 10 and Luke chapter 12, he said that. And what's interesting about that word sparrow is, if you look, one of the fellow teachers at our seminars mentioned this. I found it quite interesting. He said, if you look at the original, he said, Jesus didn't use the word sparrow, and the English word sparrow. So what did he use? And he looked into it, and the word that he used was for a specific kind of bird that is a non-migratory bird. In other words, a bird that stayed around for the winter and doesn't go to the Pinecraft for winter, but it stayed around, and God took care of it in spite of that. Even though winter is harsh and it's maybe harder to find food, because you're more of more value than that sparrow. And this is meant for our encouragement when it comes to life, when it comes to finances and other areas in life. We can know that God says, you're more value than the sparrow. And I watch over them, and I'll watch over you. Another challenge is physical decline. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 talks about it. We're not going to take the time to read that. But health tends to decline, aches and pains, replacement body parts, hip replacements, knee replacements, taking more pills than what you used to take, doctor visits, and the list can go on. And I think most older people don't want to complain, and so they silently bear it. And if you sit and talk to them, it's good to ask them, how are you feeling? How are your aches and pains? I remember going to visit, most people don't like to talk about it, so they just grin and bear it. But I do remember, I have good memories. Like Adrian said, I have good memories of both of my grandparents. But one thing I remember about my one grandpa is he tended to be a little more on the negative side, and you didn't even really have to ask specific questions. He was more than ready to share about all his aches and pains and this hurt or that hurt. But it is truth. When you get older, there are aches and pains, and that's just one of the things that as we get older we have to bear that. And so show interest and pray for them, care for them. Housing, living arrangements, especially for, as we get older and need help in life, or maybe the house gets too large to maintain. Where do we live? What do we do? Things start to become overwhelming. Children may be scattered. Who should I live close to? Who's going to be able to take care of us when we're older? Who do you live with if need be? And us younger ones can be useful in helping older people with projects around the house and helping them to work through those things. I think older people sometimes, I've observed, struggle with finding purpose and meaning in life at times. They can feel discouraged, feel useless to society. They can't work like they used to be able to. And the list can go on. They can feel lonely and forgotten. Family, the children, their children are raising their own families and they have busy lifestyles. The church is busy and has missions and things going on. And there sit grandpa and grandma, and there's not many people coming to visit. They can start feeling lonely, and everybody else is so busy, and here I sit. Their friends are passing away. Their friends group is getting smaller and smaller. Well, maybe for you older people, don't focus on what you can't do, but focus on what you can do. Encourage others. Be a faithful prayer warrior. Share God's faithfulness. Look for opportunities to share God's faithfulness to the next generation, like we read about there in Psalm. Maybe older people can relate to Paul when he said in Philippians chapter 1, and Paul wasn't that old at that point, although he was getting close to the end of his life. But he said he was in prison, and he said, I'm ready to die. It would be my desire to die, but for your sake, I'm willing to stay and encourage you. And I would imagine Paul seems to be pretty much of a go-getter. Early in his life, he went around and he persecuted the church. He put all his energy into it. And then when he gave his heart to Christ, he turned to Christ. He put that energy into serving God. And here he was, stuck in prison. He's getting older. I think maybe he was in his mid-50s when he wrote Philippians. He was getting older. He's in prison. What use is he anymore to the church? Do you know what he did? He wrote letters. He wrote to the church, and he encourages them. So young people, God has a plan for you. And I want to encourage the older ones to look for ways to be useful and to find purpose. Another battle that is not totally unique to older people, but that is spiritual battles. Turn to Psalm 71. We all face spiritual battles, but I've talked to enough older folks that I know that the spiritual battles don't necessarily get easy. As a matter of fact, they change. And there may be some things that you face that us younger ones never imagined that we would face in life. David faced battles and struggle in his life, and in Psalm 71, it seems like David was older when he wrote this. In verse 4, he says, "Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man." So he's crying out to God for deliverance. Jump down to verse 9. He's crying out to God not to forsake him. "Cast me not off in this time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help." And then jumping down to verse 18, he says, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come." And so David is talking about his struggles. And it is true that we all have struggles, but older people have struggles. They have temptations. But I think if we combine that with what I talked about before of sharing God's faithfulness to the next generation and showing God's faithfulness to the next generation, it will do wonders for you as an older person as well. As you share what God did for you, it will not only strengthen the next generation, but it will strengthen you as well. Another one that's probably a big one that we could spend a lot of time with, but it's the last one, and I'll just touch on it briefly, is the loss of independence. It's difficult to admit to need help for anybody, and it's difficult for older people to realize that I need some physical care, that I need maybe sometimes children need to step in and help take over finances or whatever it is, and that can be difficult. And I believe, as I thought about that, it's difficult because it seems to be a direct attack on our dignity when we have to admit help. We can't do things like we used to. And this can be one of the hardest areas for aging people. I'm listening to an audiobook right now about a World War II fighter that his plane went down and he was a prisoner of war, captured by the Japanese. But before he was captured by the Japanese, they spent days and days out on the ocean on a little raft and almost died multiple times, almost starved to death. And they survived all that. And then finally they got rescued, but they were put in a prisoner of war. And there were things that the way they were treated not as humans, they were treated as dogs. And that had a worse toll, took a worse toll on them than being stranded out there in the ocean and all that they faced out there, because they had no dignity. And I use that as an example. I think as I thought about that story that I'm listening to, and what they faced, and I realize that it's maybe a little bit different. But in a sense, when we realize that we can't take care of ourselves anymore and do things that we used to be able to do, and rather than dad helping son, now it's son helping dad, and it seems backwards to us, and it feels like it's a direct attack on our dignity. We tend to be very private people when it comes to financial matters and some of those things, and I just want to encourage you as older, start involving your children with financial decisions. Start involving them with where things are at. I was giving an example of a friend of mine, and he's not that old, but he told me that he has a 3-ring binder that he keeps in his safe. And in there he has all his information, all his bank account information, and that's investment properties he owns. All those things. He has all the information in that 3-ring binder, and he updates it every, I forget how often, but he keeps it up to date. And once a year, when the family's all together, he gets a three-ring binder out, and his sons get a chance to look through, and they talk about it. Here's where things are at. And when they get the call that dad passed away, they're not going to be surprised. They're going to know exactly where to go. They know exactly what's in that three-ring binder. And to me, that's a beautiful picture, and it works a lot better that way if dad is willing to involve his children earlier on in life rather than pushing them off and then it makes difficulties later on. When the older generation accepts help rather than the younger generation feeling like they have to pry into things because it is definitely needed, the feeling of losing dignity is not as strong. And I think that's a good thing. Well, in closing, just 3 points of encouragement for the older people. Trust in God's care. We talked about that. God told Moses to tell the Israelites, well, in Isaiah, you don't need to turn to it. I'm just going to read a verse here in Isaiah. I should have put it in my notes. Isaiah 46 and verse 4. It says, "And even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you." God told Moses when he asked him to go deliver the Israelites out of Egypt, he said, "Tell them that I am sent you." This is who I am. Tell them that I am sent you. And we need to remember that it's the same I am that delivered the children of Israel from Egypt that has made you, made me, and he promises to carry the hoary head and to bear you. And so I trust that can be an encouragement to you, that we can trust God with your fears, your aches, your pains, your temptations, your challenges, whatever it is that you face. The second one I touched on, I'm not going to spend any time on that, but focus on purposeful fruitfulness, prayer, mentoring, share wisdom. Be the consistent stability in our congregation. We need you. We need the older. We need the grandpas and grandmas here. Be that consistent stability. And last of all, renew your inner man day by day. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." And this promise is for all of us, but especially it can apply to you older ones. Be faithful in your Bible reading and prayer life. Be open to share with others the help to help you be renewed. Faithful older people are a crown of glory. In Proverbs 16:31, "The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness." Older people are a great honor and a blessing from God. We need older people. To those of us that are younger, be faithful in caring for, respecting, and learning from them. And to the older, God has you here for a purpose. Be faithful in filling that purpose. And I am grateful that we have grandpas and grandmas here with us this morning. God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.